You may have noticed that we have a balloon high and lifted up in our church, and that was from our all-age worship this morning, where some of the children helped me to release the balloon as we remembered that at this time we lift up our eyes to the risen and exalted Lord Jesus, who is the first among all things, hence the number one. It is a number one when it's facing the right way. And we just pray that that will be a visual aid for us also this evening, that we will lift up our eyes to the Lord and yet know that he is here in our midst. I'm going to read a reflection, imagining the disciple Peter and his thoughts on Jesus being taken into heaven. Never again, Jesus, shall we break bread together in this world. Never again will you teach me to fish on Galilee. Never again will I go walking on the water with you. Never again will you wash my feet. Never again will you greet me from the dawn-lit shore. Never again will you sleep in my boat, oblivious seemingly to the wind and waves. Never again will you preach in my village, disturb our worship, yet bring healing and hope to so many at evening. Never again will you stay at mine and enjoy home cooking. Never again will you rouse me from deep sleep to watch with you and pray. Never again, Jesus, this side of heaven, will we laugh, weep, and walk together. Yet, sometimes I feel sure you will still chide me for my lack of faith, for my headstrong will and stubborn pride, and for my ignorant presumption. Sometimes too, and I shall grieve at this, I will sense your gaze when I deny or betray you, even though you are not there with me. For whenever the cock crows, I will weep. Wherever fish are grilled on charcoal, I will remember. Yes, Jesus, I will so miss you. A cloud has veiled you from my sight. You have gone. But only that part which eyes, ears, and hands can sense. And yet, always, you are and will be with us. Not as past memory, but as present tense and future hope. Not as the carpenter, but as the king. Not as the stranger, but as our friend. Not as the victim, but as our saviour. We shall know you as the scriptures burn within us. We shall touch you in the neighbour that we love. We shall hear you in the silence when we pray. We shall see you when bread is broken and wine outpoured. Yet these are but a foretaste of that joy when you will come, and we shall be with you forever. And clouds shall never again hide you from our sight. There, someone imagining the thoughts and feelings of Peter at the ascension of Jesus. And what about ourselves this evening? I want us to briefly consider again the meaning of his ascension for us. Many New Testament writers hold together Christ's resurrection and ascension as one process, often described by the word exaltation. From the agony of Christ's death upon the cross, through the resurrection, Jesus was exalted to the glory of heaven. What does this mean for us? Well, firstly, exaltation means that Jesus Christ reigns. We affirmed that truth in our opening hymn based on St. Paul's words in 2 Philippians. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have sung those words, and as we go from here, we must also live them. To behave in the light of that confession. Do our words and our actions confirm that Jesus is in the driving seat of our lives? That he is in control? And because of that, we are changed. See if you can see the lordship of Jesus revealed in this true story. There was a family where the parents and the three teenage children all came to faith in Christ at the same time. The family was experiencing unemployment. They had little food, and their young teenage daughter was pregnant. A member of the local church offered some practical kindness, and as a result, the family was drawn into the church, and eventually each made a commitment to Christ. The church continued to support the family, helping them both spiritually and practically, helping to find employment for the father and the son. And the change in that family, because of the living Lord Jesus, was so dramatic that one day a neighbor called round and said to them on the doorstep, "I just want to come across and tell you how glad I am that you have moved in here. It really has made such a difference. The people here before you were always having drinking parties and keeping everyone awake for half the night. And you should have heard their language. The kids were awful, and the garden was full of weeds. It's great to have you here. And you can imagine their surprise when back came the reply, well, we've been living here for 13 years. Submission to the Lord Jesus Christ changes us. It brings out the best in us when we look up to Jesus and we grow into his stature, according to the words that Wynn read to us. Exaltation means that Jesus Christ reigns. And secondly, the exalted Lord Jesus then commands our worship. We heard in our gospel reading how Jesus blessed the disciples as he withdrew into heaven. And we heard that that act of blessing turned them into a people of praise and thanksgiving. They were continually at the temple praising God. 7 whole days, not 1 in 7, I will praise thee. So may God do that work in us. It's possible because we know that Christ is alive in us. And according to the Easter hymn, Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine. He comes to claim the here and now and conquer every place and time. It's dangerous to think that the ascension of Christ marks his removal from the earth. Nothing could be further from the truth. The former Archbishop of London, William Temple, put it like this. He said, the ascension of Christ is his liberation from all restrictions of time and space. It does not represent his removal from the earth, but his constant presence everywhere on the earth. Or as someone else put it, Jesus is mobile. Now he is present at all times and in all places where his name is called upon and his lordship confessed. The blessings of Christ transform you and me into his people of praise. We worship him as our Lord. And then thirdly and lastly, the exaltation of Jesus means that being our great high priest, he makes intercession for us. He is at the right hand side of God, praying for you right now. What a wonderful promise. Jesus, the one who understands the human heart, the one who knows our deepest needs, holds us before the Father. And likewise, we also pray for one another. How many times we have been encouraged and drawn comfort from those who are saying to us, I'm praying for you. We thank God tonight for those who hold us in prayer. In our epistle, we heard how St. Paul encouraged the Christians in Ephesus to build one another up in love. Build one another up. How might you do that this week? A word of encouragement, an act of kindness, a selfless act, and many other gifts and graces that make our faith real and bring heaven to earth. If you looked very closely, you would see that this balloon is tethered by a fine line to the cross. And that is a visual aid in itself and a message for us. Although Jesus is exalted, he is forever connected to his people through his cross, as we share in the fellowship of his sufferings. I was reminded of this truth when, in a hospital visit this week, I was explaining and reading around the ascension of Jesus and how he is with us to this day. And this patient said to me about Jesus, "Well, he certainly walks these wards." And I held on to that. He certainly walks these wards through the nurses and the doctors, through the human touch and compassionate caring. Yes, Christ ascended to the highest place that he may be discovered and found in the lowliest place. As one scholar put it, "In the exaltation of Jesus, the dust of the earth has been exalted to the throne of the universe." The dust of the earth has been exalted to the throne of the universe. May we ponder these things in this week ahead. The exalted Lord reigns. The exalted Lord commands our worship. The exalted Lord intercedes on our behalf. As we come to his table as his friends, may we kneel in worship. Let us allow his mercy and grace to touch us in our need. Let us reassert his rule in our lives. And let us pledge ourselves in Christian service to build one another up. Amen.